Welcome to the Dwelling Place Church audio podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's message. We pray God speaks to you today through this message and through His Word. For more information about our church, be sure to visit us on the web at dwellingplacemovement.org. Now, it's time to listen to this week's message.
Well, praise the Lord. Job chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Job 14, beginning in verse 12. So man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait. Someone say, I will wait. Till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. I want to preach a message to you titled, God is for me. Will you say that with me? God is for me. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for your prophetic anointing to be on your word, that, Lord, what you have demonstrated thus far in this gathering, that, Lord, you would birth it again in individuals that are here, people that are listening, that, Lord, you would continue to multiply the process, multiply your work, multiply your men and women. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Pastor Craig clearly established for us that God is acting in our waiting. God is acting in our waiting. That God is personally involved in your life. Today, I want to pick up from that which he established with this. If God is personally involved in my life, then he is personally involved in others' lives. If God is personally involved in your life, then he is involved in the life of others around you. Why is this important? Because so much of waiting is connected to others. The reality so much waiting happens in our life is because we are connected with other people. You heard the testimony there of King and Jessica. Jessica's waiting was because she was in relationship with her husband. She was waiting for some things to happen because she was in relationship with another. I believe many of you today, that speaks to you. That oftentimes we are waiting because we're in relationship with other people. Just think of the title of this series, The Waiting Room. The Waiting Room. When you're in a waiting room at the hospital, it is because of a relationship. And because you're not the doctor, and because you're not the nurses, nor the patient, you're in the waiting room. See, one of the difficulties of being in the waiting room is that we're unable to know moment by moment what's taking place. And one of the difficulties of being in the waiting room is we're unable to control what is taking place. And the unknown and the inability to control are two of the biggest things that can destroy a person's mind if they allow it. See, waiting instructs that everything is not just about us. You might like sunrises, but there's others that just like sunsets. and you having to wait through a sunset for a sunrise to come teaches you, instructs you that life is not just about you. Waiting instructs you and I that we're not in control of all things. Some of you only like summer, but the fact that year-round's not summer instructs you that you're not God, that you're not in control of every season. You're not in control of everything that has been established. Listen to me, friends. As long as we are on earth, we will be waiting in regards to something and in regards to someone. As long as you are in this clay vessel, your body, in this age, you will always be waiting on something and someone. And here's what I sense in my spirit for us today. If we're going to have to wait then, if waiting is a reality then, if we're going to have to wait, then we might as well wait on God. If we're going to have to wait in life, if we're going to have to wait on others, if waiting's going to be a part of our experience, then we might as well wait on God. Job 14, verse 12, Job says, "So man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my heart service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag and you cover my iniquity." Here Job, as he's being squeezed, we hear this expression come out of the depths of his soul. But what was Job's situation, real fast? The Sabians took his oxen and his donkeys and killed some of his servants, his employees. The Chaldeans took his camels and killed some more of his employees. Fire killed his sheep and more of his servants. His children were killed when the oldest son's house collapsed on them all. The adversary was allowed to strike his body with painful boils from head to toe. Three of his friends had made an appointment together to come and to mourn with him and to comfort him. The text of Scripture says when they saw him, they wept from what they saw. A man who sat in the gate with the elders of his area, a man that had blessed the needy, fed the poor, been clothed in the works of righteousness, who had walked in the prosperity and the blessing of God. And now when his friends saw him, they wept. The text says they sat with him 7 days silent. But it didn't end that way. Then his friends couldn't remain silent any longer. And after his second friend's discourse, our text comes from Job's second reply. And Job says, "Oh, that you, God, would appoint me a set time and remember me." The Hebrew word "appoint" there is sheet. It sounds right. It means to put or to appoint, to perform or make one something, or to constitute an appointment. When I look at Hebrew words, I like to go to the book of the beginnings, the first book, Genesis, and then I like to look at the word in either Psalms and Proverbs to understand. There's what's called in hermeneutics and understanding what God has said, the law of first reference. To really understand a word's use, you need to go back and see the first time it's used in Scripture. Scripture is an ongoing story. So when you read a text, God's already been speaking for years, decades, hundreds of years at times about a theme. And in that text, God doesn't remind you of all He's already said about that theme. It's for you and I, the hearers, to learn the bigger story of God. And so in Genesis, when you look up the word sheet, and when it's first used in Genesis 3:15. In Genesis 3:15 is when God told the serpent because of sin and because of it yielding to the adversary's voice and deceiving and Eve, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Here's what we see. The word put there is sheet. And here we see that there is an appointed battle. That there is an appointed battle between the seed of woman and Satan's seed. The second time we see it is Genesis 4:25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. The word there is appointed. It's sheet, same Hebrew word that Job prayed that God would appoint. Meaning there's not only an appointed battle, but it's used about an appointed seed. And the reason there's an appointed seed is because there's an appointed battle. And the battle calls Cain to listen to the same adversary's voice and to kill his brother Abel. Because Cain didn't make it through the battle. And because Cain didn't make it through the appointed battle, Cain's jealousy allowed him to murder his brother. So you see, there's an appointed battle. There is an appointed seed. Then, the next time it's used in Genesis 30 and 40, it says, Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face towards the streaked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban, his uncle's flock. It's used as an appointed flock. So you have an appointed battle, you have an appointed seed, you have an appointed flock. And then in Genesis 41 and 33, it says, now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. The next time sheet is used is when it's talking about an appointed set man. Joseph was the one in that text that Genesis 41 is referring to. An appointed set leader. Then in Genesis 46 and 4 says, I will go down with you to Egypt and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. This was God's word to Jacob, who we now know as Israel. When he leaves where he was at and he goes to Egypt where Joseph was sent before him. And this was that there was an appointed place of divine provision for Jacob, for Israel. And when it talks about how that Joseph would put his hand on his eyes, that means that that's where he would pass away. So there was an appointed place of divine provision until his death. Then in Genesis 48, 14, Israel, this is Jacob, stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who is the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands, knowing that Manasseh was the firstborn. This, the word laid it, is the same word sheet. And it means that there was appointed blessing and favor. Now, when you go to the Psalms and see when this Hebrew word's used, one example is Psalms 8:6, where it says, you have made him, this is mankind, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put is the Hebrew word sheet. All things under his feet. Again, it speaks to appointed authority. And then Psalms 139, 5. Watch this. The psalmist says, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. This speaks to an appointed process. Now watch this. This is Job's situation. This is why I'm walking you through that. The use of this word throughout Scripture is speaking directly to Job's story and Job's experience. Because what was Job's situation? An appointed battle. The adversary went to God and began to accuse Job. You see the appointed battle. Next, you see the appointed set man. Job was an appointed set man. Why? Because we have the book of Job. He was set as an example for you and I of the things that have been appointed by God, of the reality of the days that we live in, of the things that I'm going to communicate and talk about today. Next, we see the issue of the appointed hand. Job brings out this issue of whose hand is doing what. That the old paradigm of the world of Job's time was that if it's good, then it's God's hand. If it's bad, then it's God's hand. And Job brings out this wrestling about what hand is appointed. Because you remember Job 1? God says, I have given Job into your hand, adversary. And it was the hand of the adversary that caused boils on his body, not the hand of Almighty God. And what about this? The appointed process. Job says those very same things in his process that the psalmist said. He says, you've hedged me in. You've hedged me in. I can't get out of this process that you, God, have hedged me in. That's a point. Sheet. But notice he says, God, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Set time is the Hebrew word hok, which ain't too far off from choke. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's spelled C-H-O-Q, and then the transliteral to our language is K-H-O-K-E. So then you get to English, it's really C-H-O-K-E. And what it means is, it means a statute or a decree that is specific that creates a limitation. It means a prescribed task. See, listen, when you prescribe a task, the very act of prescribing a task then limits you from other tasks. See, the fact that you have a prescribed job description automatically limits you at your work from just doing all these other things. Anytime there's a specific decree of God, it also limits you. It means a prescribed portion. It means a prescribed boundary. It means a specific law or condition or term. So Job prays, oh God, you would give me and appoint me a set time. In Genesis 47, 22 and 26, it's the only two times it's used in Genesis. This Hebrew word. And it's used where it says, only the land of the priest he did not buy, talking about Pharaoh and the leadership of Joseph under Pharaoh's empowerment. It says, only the land of the priest he did not buy, for the priest had rations allotted to them. Allotted there is the Hebrew word for set time, hok, to them by Pharaoh. And they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them, therefore they did not sell their lands. Meaning, the priest, when they all of Israel was still in Egypt, they had land allotted to them. Now, you remember when the famine hit, the global famine? Through the wisdom of Joseph, Joseph's wisdom got everything, all the resources for Pharaoh. People were selling their seed. They were selling their children to force servanthood. They had sold all their cattle. In the end, Pharaoh ended up overseeing everything except the land allotted to the priest. The prescribed boundary that God had for his priest. The prescribed portion. In Psalms 148, the psalmist uses it in 1 through 6, says, praise the Lord from the heavens. We're on a journey. If you've not figured that out yet, you have to go the whole sermon before you get it. Just wait. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Here it is. Watch this. For He commanded, He hulk, and they were created. He established them forever. And ever He made a decree, a hulk, which shall not pass away. What did God do? God prescribed an ordinance and set a boundary for the sun, the moon, and the stars, for the waters above the heavens and on the earth. Proverbs 8:29, the Spirit of Wisdom says the same thing. It says, when He assigned the sea, its limit. The limit there is hulk, so that the waters would not transgress His command. When He marked out the foundations of the earth, God prescribed an ordinance. He prescribed and set a boundary. So this we've seen is Job's situation. Job has been hedged in. He has lost his business. He has lost his wealth. He has lost children. He's lost his health. And this brings us to Job's prayer. He says, oh God, appoint me an appointed time. He says, oh God, set me a set time. See, listen to me. Job knew if God would appoint him a set time, then he could make it. Job knew that if he could have assurance that God had appointed him a set time, then he could endure what he was going through. Job's prayer is, God, I just need assurance that You have appointed me a set time of deliverance, a set time for restoration, a set time for a harvest and a breakthrough. See, Job could endure the weeping of the night as long as he had assurance that there still was joy coming in the morning. Job could endure the season and the dark soul of the night long as he could have assurance that God still set him a time where God would remember him and God would favor him and God would surround him again and God would give him a spacious place again. He says, oh, appoint me a set time where You will remember me. The remember me phrase means where You would come through for me. Where I can experience Your goodness to me. Where I can experience Your promises to me. Where I can walk in the spacious place of Your children, the heritage for Your children, oh God. That I can experience the life You have for me. So Job 14 and 12, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that You would hide me in the grave, that You would conceal me until Your wrath is past, that You would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again all the days of my hard service? I will wait till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of Your hands, for now You number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and You cover my iniquity. Job speaks to some realities for you and I of why we have to wait. Because you and I are not God. And God has appointed, under His own decree and will, a set time for the resurrection of the dead. Job here speaks about the resurrection. He speaks about man lying down and not rising until the heavens are no more. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, we have sufferings, but they're temporary in the light of the big scope of eternity. And he says, right in the midst of it, we have hope as believers, and the hope as believers is the resurrection to come. God has appointed a set time for the resurrection. Listen, you and I might wish that the resurrection was right now, but God has set the time for the resurrection. You and I might long to be reacquainted with some of our loved ones that died in Christ and died in faith right now, but God has appointed a set time for that. And because God has appointed a set time for the resurrection, we wait in hope for what God has set. God has not only appointed a set time for the resurrection of the dead, but God has appointed a set time for the age to come to dawn, where the lion lies down with the lamb, where Jesus reigns over the nations of the world. Listen, God has set an appointed time for the age to come. You and I are supposed to ask for it. You and I are supposed to long for it, but it ain't today. God has appointed it as a set time. And because God has appointed the age to come at a set time, you know what that means in the meantime? There's an appointed battle. You and I are in an appointed battle between the seed of God, Christ Jesus, and those of us that are in Christ the seed, those of us that are born again followers of Him, and the seed of Satan, those that continue to follow the lawless one, the adversary, and that he uses to bring harm and his dysfunctional will on the earth. But notice Job also says, you number my steps. Listen, God has appointed a prescribed boundary for your steps. We like to say in our culture that you can do anything you want, but you can't. Can a leopard change its spots? No. You can try to change definitions. You can try to create your own fantasy. You can try to create and change words and meanings of words. You can try to make things look different on the outside, but God knows all the way down to the very atom and molecule of how He created you and I. I would have loved to be on an NBA team and beat LeBron last night, but I can't do anything. The days of Muggsy Bogues, if you know that, those NBA days are gone. If you ain't 6 foot plus, you're not going to be in the league. It's just a whole nother game nowadays. So I can want to be in the NBA all I want. Don't matter. God's appointed a prescribed boundary for my steps. And it's the same for you. I mean, if you were struggling through elementary mathematics, then you sure ain't going to be no engineer. You know what I'm saying? That's because it's a prescribed boundary. But you know what else Job speaks to here? That God appointed a set time to seal up the record for our sins and transgressions. Here's the good news about this one. Scripture says Jesus came at the fullness of time. You know what it's saying? He came at the appointed set time, when God was going to seal up our transgressions, where Jesus was going to take our sin upon Him, where God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become our sin, where He would take the wrath upon the old creation. So that's past tense. God, through Jesus' crucifixion, His death and His resurrection, that's when He had appointed a set time to deal with the transgressions and the sins that He previously passed over in the old covenant, the days before. If you're here today and you've never heard, if you think God is unwilling or resistant to forgive you and to grant you a new start and a new relationship, you need to understand that God's appointed time to deal with your sin, it's already past tense. He's already dealt with your sin. Now He just commands you to change your mind, to now trust that He's already dealt with your transgressions and your failures and your sins through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But listen, God also has appointed prophetic set times for His purposes in Christ for you. And when it comes to God's prophetic set times for you, you will never, never, in your own ability, change those prophetic times and seasons. You can't get to your high calling in Christ without first being faithful and what He first puts before you. You can't get where only God has designed and designated for you in the future if you don't allow God to do prophetically in this season what He wants to do. See, the kingdom time doesn't operate like human time. The years that you have followed Christ does not equate with the level of our maturity and our advancement in the kingdom. Because the prophetic seasons and the time of God's kingdom operates different. You can follow Jesus 28 years, but for 28 years have the same experience with no growth. And so all of this speaks to the fact that waiting is a part of reality. And so listen, if we're going to have to wait in life, if you're going to have to wait at times in line, if you're going to have to wait at times for the government or the loan company or some business to get back to you, if you're going to have to wait in life, if you're going to have to wait on others, then we might as well wait on God. And if we're going to have to wait on God for the appointed battle between mankind, you and I, and Satan to be over, then we might as well wait on God for our personal battles we're facing. Listen, if we're going to have to wait on God for the big battle and Satan to be bound for 1,000 years in the age to come, if we're going to have to wait for that, then we might as well wait right now in the personal battle we're going through on God. If you and I can't change that we have to wait to the things that God in His own sovereignty has set in His own time clock, then you and I might as well, right in the midst of what we're going through, wait on God. And if we're going to wait on God, we might as well wait on God for Him to give us direction for our steps. And if we're going to wait on God, we might as well wait in His Word. Think about it. If we're going to wait in life, if we're going to wait in our experience, then we might as well wait on God. And if we're going to wait on God, then we might as well wait in His Word. We might as well begin to put our hope and begin to put our focus in His Word. And if we're going to wait on God, we might as well wait with worship. See, if we're going to wait on God, we might as well wait in discipleship. We might as well wait following Jesus, having our ear pierced to His voice, listening to His prophetic word to us in this season, listening to what He is saying and wanting to do in our life in this season. Why? Because you can't get to His prophetic season that He has for you next without allowing the potter to be the potter and you be the clay in this season. See, we have a lot of churchgoers in the West. We just don't have a lot of people following the prophetic seasons, listening to the prophetic voice, following Jesus as King. So we have a lot of people that get encouraged, and a lot of people know that they're called, but we don't have a lot of people that will go through the process to be set in what God has for them. So if we're going to have to wait, then we might as well wait on God. And if we're going to wait on God, we might as well wait in discipleship. as a learner following the Lord. That's why Job said, I'm going to wait till my change comes. I'm going to keep waiting on God as He conforms me and transforms me, and Christ be formed in me, and the mind of Christ be formed in me, and my mind be renewed, and the healing balm of Gilead heal my negative emotions and heal my wounds. And then if we're going to wait on God, we might as well wait in confidence. In verse 15, he says, look, you shall call and I will answer you. What do you see? As Job's waiting, he's waiting in confidence that though he's not hearing God in this season, though he feels abandoned in this season, though he feels hedged in the sheet in this season, though he feels like he's getting the sheet choked out of him in this season, he's going to put his confidence in the Lord. He's going to put his confidence in the Lord. That God's going to call. His voice is going to come to his ear again, and he's going to answer. He's got confidence that God created him, and if God created him, then God shall desire what he created. That though the vision tarries, it will not tarry forever. Though the hand of God and the hand of favor that created you tarries, it will not tarry forever. Job waits in confidence, saying, God, you created me with your hand, and I wait confident that your hand, your good hand, will come upon me again. See, what I'm saying is if we're going to have to wait, we ought to wait on God. And if we're going to wait on God, then we might as well wait with God. We might as well wait with Him, with His Word, with His praise and His worship in our heart and mouth. Wait with God as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and what He's saying to us in this season. And Job, right in the midst of his situation, what Job declares and what Job will not let go, and what you and I in seasons have to get persuaded in where we won't let it go, is God is for me. Job didn't wait to the end of the story to declare and say, God is for me. Job, right in the midst of his situation, kept holding on. God is for me. I know my children have passed, but God is for me. I know I've lost my business, but God is still for me. I know my friends are making accusations and they're discerning the season I'm going through wrongly, but God is for me. As we wait, we got to wait with the reality in our soul that God is for me. And as I wait, I know I can't control it all. As I wait, I don't know all that's going on in some of the waiting rooms. But one thing I will not let go of is God is for me. And because God's for me, he shall desire the work of his hands. He shall desire me, not from afar, but he shall desire me closely. See, listen to me. To strongly desire something, you don't keep it distant. You keep food from yourself long enough, you'll desire it so strong, you will get it as close, you'll get it in your mouth and start eating it. When you desire something strongly, it doesn't remain distant. And Job says, I don't know all the mysteries. I don't know all that's happening. I don't know why I'm hedged in. I don't know why I can't get out of this season, but I'm in a prophetic hedging. And if I'm going to have to wait, I'm going to wait on God, and I'm going to wait with God, and I'm not going to let go that God is for me. And if He's for me, then I'm going to be confident that He is going to come and draw near to me again. He's going to desire the work of His hands. In Job 10:8, he had previously said, "For your hands have made me, O God, and have fashioned me in intricate unity. Yet would you destroy me?" He says, "God shall remember me. God shall remember His ultimate intent towards me. God shall remember." This is what happened when God raised up a Moses, a set man, an appointed man. Said he heard the groaning of his people under Pharaoh's slavery. And when he heard the groaning of his people, it says he remembered his covenant. This is what Job's saying. Job, in the midst of his pain, is groaning. Job, in the midst of his questioning, is groaning. And he's crying out in his prayers and he's saying, "Oh God, if you will just appoint me a set time, then I know I can make it. Because a set time is the time where you remember me. A set time where your word to me is experienced. A set time is when your promise is harvested in my life." "He shall perform what He's appointed for me as He's prescribed." What I'm trying to tell you is that if you want what God ultimately has designed for you, God has to lead us through prophetic set times, and some of those times are seasons similar to Job, where you're hedged into situations and your mind will never figure the combination to unlock it. That you're going to have to learn to wait. And if you're going to have to learn to wait, then you might as well wait on God. And if you're going to have to wait on God to unlock what He's hedged you in, then you might as well wait with God. You might as well wait staying in His Word. You might as well wait staying gathering and worshiping Him. You might as well stay waiting, listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit in your discipleship. If you're going to have to wait, you might as well wait on God. You're waiting on others. Why don't you start waiting on God? You're waiting for other things. Why not wait on God? And as you wait on God, why don't you wait with Him? With the tools He's given you. Because we're in an appointed battle. But God still has an appointed portion for you in Jesus Christ. He still has an appointed kingdom assignment for you. He still has an appointed sphere of influence for you. He still has appointed favor and provisions for you in the sphere that He's called you to. And you might not be in that sphere. You might not be walking in that calling. You might not be seeing the provision, but it's not the end of the story. But to experience the end of the story like Job, you have to wait on God and wait with God and hold fast your confidence that God is for me. We live this out, not just individually, but we live it out as a movement. We live it out as a church. We live it out as kingdom people. That God has prophetic seasons for you and I and for this congregation. Life causes us to wait. So as people of God, why don't we wait on Him? And why don't we wait with Him?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. If you would like more information about our church, be sure to visit us on the web at dwellingplacemovement.org.